This morning, I am back in Romans chapter 4. I want to back up and get just a couple of verses out of Romans chapter 3 to set the stage for this one. Let's begin at verse 26 of chapter 3. He says, "To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which justifieth the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish it." So here we're going to begin to deal with what we call justification, or the scriptures call it justification by faith. And back in the previous verses, chapter 20 of 23 now, of chapter 3, we found that a person is justified before God. He says, "For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now notice this verse. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Now, the reason I read that is because that is justification in the court. I want to remind you that there's, when we talk about justification, there is at least three different phases that we need to speak about, and we can't speak about all of them in one sermon. So, last Sunday we talked about we set the stage that man has sinned by nature. They've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, the only way that a person can stand before the throne of God, before the great throne of God in heaven, is to be justified by grace through the blood and the redemption of Christ Jesus. That's how that we're justified in the courtroom of God. But when we start talking about faith, and this is a question I want you to ponder, how can we just be justified by faith if we don't have faith? You see, justification by faith is that which we as born again children of God, we are justified by our faith when we believe, when we obey the word of God, when we walk. You know, little book of James says, faith without works is dead, being alone. So we show our faith by our works. And faith is, of course, we know is a fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to try to work our way down through some of these things, but the principal thing this morning that I want us to think about is Abraham. Abraham is a central character in the entire scripture from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. Abraham, he's called the father of the faithful. He is the one that God said that he is the friend of God. He is God's friend. And so this morning, if you will read with me a little while in Romans chapter 4, we're going to talk about the faith of Abraham and what it means to us. Why do we need to know about Abraham that was so many, many years ago? Well, as we read through these verses, I hope the Lord will bless us to be able to at least give you some things to think about. Now notice it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, have found?" And that's the question that we need to ponder as we come down through the study of Abraham. What did Abraham find out? And what do we as God's people find out through our experiences and so forth? When we understand that and believe the fact that all men by nature are sinners. They have absolutely nothing that can bring them into favor with God. So when we find somebody that believes in God and understands parts of the scriptures anyway, or believes in Almighty God, then we know that belief comes because of, and not in order to obtain salvation, but because we've already been born of the Spirit of God. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. You can't have a fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit, can you? So when we're talking about being justified by faith, we're talking about and speaking about God's born-again children. You can't be justified by faith until you've been justified by the blood of Christ through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. So every single one that's justified by the blood of Christ, not all of those will be justified by faith. Now that may seem very strange, but the only ones that's going to have this justification, the word justify is a forensic term. It's a legal term. Justify means to declare righteous. That means to say not guilty. When we talk about the courtrooms of there's three courtrooms, and I'll just give them to you again. There's the courtroom of God in eternal glory, where we stand before Him just as if we had never sinned. I want us to think about that. We, as God's people, because of verse 23, that we have been freely, we're justified freely by His grace through redemption that's in Christ Jesus. The only way that anybody will ever stand before the judgment throne of God in eternal glory and have Him declare you righteous is because He was washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ through redemption. All right, that's the courtroom of God. But when we start talking about justification by faith, we're talking about children of God who believe in God and believe the promises of God. And because of their faith, they can trust in Him. And when you believe, then you have that assurance in your heart and in your conscience. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? That's the first question that we could ask. Well, if you believe that, then we know by the scriptures in 1 John 5, if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we've been born again. And we have been given faith to believe the promises of God. Now, the promises that Abraham, that was given to Abraham, he believed them a little to start with. And then he began to, and we find that he went through several different, experiences, so to speak. And by the time he got to chapter 22, he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said. So, but we want to read in chapter 4 now. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, have found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory. Now, when you're talking about being justified by works, there is a sense, and this is the other courtroom, Brother Tom, that justified by works, and James, we'll talk about this into detail in a little later, another sermon, but when you think about justification by works, that's in the courtroom of our peers, in the courtroom of those outside, and it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac on the mountain? Well, when somebody looks at you and they see your fruits of the Spirit, when they see that you're walking in the ways of God and believing God and setting forth the principles set forth in the Word of God, then they say, aha, that man is a child of God. He's following after God. Well, you're not justified by your works in your own conscience, but you're justified by works in the peers of others. When I see the fruits of the Spirit in you, I can see your face is shining with the Spirit of God. I say that is evidence. You know, we can't believe anything. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? You can't believe anything without evidence. If somebody tells you a story and it's just a little story about Aladdin's lamp and all this stuff, you say, well, that's wonderful. But what evidence do you have that that's true? It's a fairy tale, see. Until we have some evidence, we're not going to believe. This is why Thomas, when Jesus came amongst the children, the disciples at one time, he appeared to them in his resurrected body. And they said, Thomas, the Lord's been here. He says, nah, I don't believe that. He said, I will not believe that until I can put my hands in his nail prints and thrust my hands in his side. And the next time Jesus came back and appeared to them, and Thomas was there. And he says, Thomas, come in, and quit doubting, Thomas. So you see, doubt excludes faith. When we pray, we're to pray in faith, nothing doubting. So when we pray to God, we want to be sure that we're praying in the right way. Our prayers are always supposed to be prefaced by, Father, thy will be done. Not my will, but your will. But what did Abraham find out about himself concerning his flesh. Now notice in verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. When we see the word counted, the word reckoned, the word imputed, these words are all down through all of this, this whole chapter, several different times, the word accounted, reckoned, and all those verses. Those are accounting terms. Those are terms that say, this person did this, and it was put up on his account, righteousness. It was imputed to him, when imputation is a big, big subject. But notice verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward reckoned of grace, to him that worketh is the reward reckoned of grace and, but of debt. In other words, if Abraham were justified by works, he can glory. Where's his glory at? It's not before God. His glory, if you're out here boasting about all the things that you've done and the great wonderful things that you've done, you're not glorying before God, but you're glorying before men and you're wanting the praise of men. So if Abraham were justified by works, and in some sense he was, and we'll get into that in the little book of James later, but that to me, there's a lot of folks that believe, they can't say, well, how can man be justified by blood and justified by faith and justified by works? It's in different courtrooms, and that's the only way that you're ever going to get those things straight in your mind is if you understand that which one are you talking about? We stand before God just and without sin. Legally and positionally, we stand before God justified. He has declared us to be righteous. Now, what declares us in our own mind? Our faith. When we walk by it. You know, it says that we walk by faith and not sight. Well, a lot of times we walk by sight. A lot of times we say, well, they say, well, I don't believe that. I won't believe that unless I can see it. Now, I don't believe, I only believe what I can see and only half of that. Well, what did the Lord tell Thomas? He said, come, Thomas. See your evidence. Here's the evidence. See? It's me. And Thomas says, oh, my Lord and my God. He believed because he saw the evidence. Well, Jesus says, Thomas, blessed are you because you've seen. But more blessed are they which believe and have not seen. How many of us have seen? We haven't seen Jesus as in the flesh as those people did. But how is it that you believe? How do you believe that Jesus died for you? How do you believe that there was a man even called Jesus? You see, the Scriptures, this is the Word of God, but there's multitudes of millions of people out there in the world that just think these are just myths. These things mean nothing. But until we have been born of God's Spirit, and by faith we believe these things, then, and by then, you can't say, well, I was saved or I was justified because of what I did. And there's a lot of folks in the religious world that cannot rightly separate these principles. They believe that they're justified before the courtroom of God by their faith. They believe that you must hear the gospel, you must believe the gospel, you must understand the gospel, you must pray the sinner's prayer and do all of these things, and then you will be justified by God. You see, it's too late to say I was justified before the courtroom of God by my faith, because you were born to the Spirit of God or you wouldn't have faith. This is the bottom line of all this. What did Abraham find out? And notice this. Now, to him that worketh is the reward reckoned of grace. I can't even read this. Now, he that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, to them that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, it says over, and we find this statement several times, it says, the just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk, and he's quoting Habakkuk chapter 4, I think it's verse 2, or maybe 2 and 4, you go look it up. But it says, the just shall live by his faith. How did he get the faith? And this is the whole point of all this, that you cannot be justified by your faith unless you've been born of God. That's the bottom line. And that's why it says, even, now notice it, he goes over and he quotes Psalms 32. David says, even as David describeth the blessedness of a man to whom God imputeth righteousness, God imputeth, that means he charged, he puts it on your account. The word, sometimes if you've taken accounting, there is an inventory that you have to take. You have to go back and you have to take and find out all these, the word counted, they go in there and they count their various products or whatever. Well, God counted David's faith as righteousness. He said, oh, David, you believe this and you believe the promises? There, that's a mark for you because you have believed my promise. Now, it says, even as David described, you can go read this in Psalms 32. Even as David describeth the blessedness of a man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Get that? If it's not works, then what is it? It's grace. Grace by faith. Saying, blessed are they. Now, I want you to think about this. Can you say this morning? Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Do you feel that you have a place in the realm of God that the blood of Jesus Christ washed away your sins? Do you believe that? Now, the scriptures teach that, and the promise of God is that when Jesus came, he came at the appointed time of the Father, and he redeemed us from our sins. We've gone through the book of Hebrews, and it says, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Do you believe that? Well, you're believing that didn't cause you to be a child of God, but if you believe that, there's something in your conscience by faith that says justified. And it puts you in the realm of assurance, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You're an heir of salvation. You're purchased of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. Those things are things that you believe by faith. If you believe them, then that's what this says. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I want you to think about that. How is it that God will not charge me with sin? That's what the word, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, do you believe that God imputes sin to you? Do you believe that, or you see, imputation is a transfer, or we look at Jesus, he was the spotless Lamb of God. He was without sin in every sense of the word. He came at the appointed, we read this in Hebrews, it said, in the volume of the book, it's written about me, he hath prepared for me a body. When Jesus came, God prepared his body in the virgin womb of Mary, and it came, he came forth, and he said, that which shall be born of her shall be called the Son of God. He came for one purpose. What did he come for? He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. From what? From their sins. All of our sins, we can find this in Isaiah chapter 53, that God the Father laid, put on him, he laid, literally put on our sins, charged them to the Son of God. And he took those sins in his body, and he took them and he bore them in his body on the tree. Now, and we're going to get over to Romans 8, Devin, one of these days. In Romans 8, the question is asked, who is he that condemneth? Who can condemn somebody that's been justified in the courtroom of God? When God said, not guilty, who can put anything back on him? You see, this is the point here. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, eternally, there's no sin. They're gone. That's why he said, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our iniquities from us. How far is that? How far is it from the east? If you started going east, how far would it, how long would it be if you're going due east, not going off to the south or to the north, if you're going due east, how long would it take for you to start going west? You'd never get there. And that only works on a round ball, by the way, a round sphere, Devin. That's a point we talk about, remember? It's round. It's round. It's a round sphere. As far as the east is from the west, it'll never come back again. That's how far our sins are removed. And for you to believe that, it's by faith. You believe it because you've got faith. If you don't have faith, you can't believe any of this stuff. So where do we get faith? Again, by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It. What's the it? By grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. What? Salvation is the gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. And it's not by works, lest any man should boast. So what did Abraham find out about his flesh? He found the same thing you and I do. That in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Nothing good. How to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, there is a sense in which God will impute sin to us in a timely sense. We cannot go out here and say, well, and this is the argument that people say, well, if I believe that, I just go out there and just do all kinds of things. And if you can't lose your salvation, your eternal life, then I'll just go out here and just take my fill of sin. Well, just go ahead and try that and see how it works for you. You have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you cannot do the things that you think you can do and get away with it because God will find you out. And you'll find this yucky, empty, stinking feeling. When I've done something that I know is wrong and I've said something or I've done something, it's like a feeling of just draining out of you. And you turn into a jerk, Devin. Yeah, I mean, I said this one time, and I got kind of rebuked for it. I said, all men by nature are jerks. Mark that one down. That's a fact. And when you act like a jerk, you need to go to the prayer room of God and ask forgiveness. The only way that you can get restored to the presence and the spiritual realm of God, he said, if we have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. So if... I'm not your judge. I'm not the one that's looking at your conscience. I'm not the Holy Spirit knows everything we do, everywhere we go, and everything we think, and everything that we say. So, you can fool me, or the deacons, or somebody else, but you can't fool God. You see, you belong to Him, and by grace, you have been saved. And now he's given you faith to believe his promises. And that's what all this is about. Now notice verse 9. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only. And when we find the word circumcision and the word uncircumcision, we're talking about Jews and Gentiles. That, all down through here, he speaks of this. The Jews, and there is a, they had a council, by the way, in the book of Acts, and the Jews who were coming to the New Testament church, they said, if those, the only way those Gentiles can be saved is if they're circumcised and keep the law of Moses. I want you to think how impossible that is for them or us to do. Now, we could read that, cometh this blessedness then upon the Jews only? That's what he's talking about. Or upon the Gentiles also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Oh, how is it reckoned? And we could go over to, the law of circumcision was a token that God made with Abraham in chapter 17 of Genesis. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised. It was given as a testimony that, and this is God, he said, God said, this is my covenant. And you will keep this covenant, not only, and not only yourself, but all that come after you. And Isaac was circumcised on the eighth day, just like Jesus was. That didn't do. And that's why the Apostle Paul, he argues back in those other verses back there. And you have to remember back in 2 and 28, where it talks about he identifies what a Jew is. A Jew is not one outwardly. And the circumcision is not of the flesh, but of the heart and the spirit. So a Jew, if you have been born of the Spirit of God, you have been circumcised by the Spirit of God. Whether you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, you are justified. And that's Paul, that's the whole argument of, that Paul is making in this entire chapter. These people, he's seeing here that the Jews and the Gentiles, they're the same. Before God, there is, God, he said God is no respecter of persons. Everyone, and if you've been born of the Spirit of God, then you're, and you have faith, then you're blessed with Abraham. We'll get that in a minute. I know I'm running way out of time. This is a huge mahumongous subject. Now notice in verse 11, and he's going to talk about Genesis 17. He received the sign of, you can go there in Genesis 17, verse 9, and read almost these words, word for word. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Now the whole point of all that is that Abraham was born of God. Go back to Genesis 12. He was 75 years old. And the promise was this. And Abraham learned a lot of things. There was a famine in the land, and he goes down to Egypt to get, and he finds that, and they said now to Sarah, he said, Sarah, we're going down there, but I want you to tell all them people down there that I am your brother, not your husband. Now I want you to think about what she must have thought. To put her in jeopardy, but said, if you tell them that you're my wife, they'll kill me and take you. So tell them that I am your brother and you're my sister. Well, God, in his wonderful preservation and providence, he withheld her from Pharaoh. Now, he went down there broke, Devin, but he came back very rich. He got all of his wealth and all of his wealth from Pharaoh because God scared this, you know what, out of him. Pharaoh was scared to death. And he says, take your wife and get out of here. And he had already, because Sarah was so beautiful and so wonderful, he had given Abraham all of this riches and all these things to him. He had multitudes. He was very rich, it says, when he left Egypt. But he went back. Why did he go down to Egypt? Because he thought he needed to do something to help himself. He needed to do something to help God take care of him. Well, when we get back up, we find later on, and I don't have time this morning to go, but I want you to go read Genesis 12 all the way through 22. It's wonderful reading. Just the story is great. But we find that and when it says that Abraham believed God, there's people, and back in verse 3, what says the scripture, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. When did he believe God? In other words, you can go there to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and find that very words. Abraham was, well, let me just go read. I should be able to remember that. I read it, right? But in Genesis chapter 13, he's 78 years old. That's 3 years later. And in Genesis chapter 15, now listen, he started out at 75. And in Genesis chapter 15, he's 84. Has he believed God yet? God has given him all of these things. And one time he said, well, I don't understand how this can happen. Well, through all of these experiences that God took him through, it come down to the fact. Now, it says in verse 6 of Genesis 15, let me back up and get to verse 14. And behold, the word of the Lord, this is Genesis 15, verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be thine heir. He said, how can I have a child? My wife is barren and I'm old. I don't have any heir. And this Eliezer of Damascus, who was born in my house, that was one of the laws. If you don't have any children and a child is born in your house, and you don't have any children, he becomes your heir. And Abraham said, I don't have any heirs. I don't have any children. You keep promising all this stuff, but I don't have anything. Here it is, 75. I mean, this is 84, 75. What was that? Nine years. He's been waiting. Come on, God. He said, I was going to have a child. Now he said, but he said, Abraham, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, born in my house is my heir. And the Lord said, behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but thou shalt, he shall come forth out of thine own bowels and shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look up to heaven, Abraham. You see all those stars? Multitudes of them. Look up to heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. If thou be able to number them, and he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. I don't even have a seed. Notice verse 6, Brother Tom. And he believed God. He believed in God, in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Well, if we ever get that down. I am the Lord. I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. We could go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and find a lot of stuff about him. But it says that he went out. God told him. He was, by the way, he was up, go back up to chapter 13, and it talks about all these, the father of Abraham and his brothers and Lot and all those. He said, get out of this land. He was a idol worshiping pagan. And God came to him and he said, Abraham, get out of this country and go that way. And it says in Hebrews 11, it says that he went out not knowing where he was going. That's faith. Anybody, did you ever go anywhere and you not know where you, I feel like I'm going somewhere, but I don't know where I'm going. But I'm going because God told me to go. That's what he did. And we find these promises being reiterated. Now, going back to Romans 4, I know I'm not going to get through this. But we find, now, how in the world, and this is the question he wants these people to see. This is the lesson. The lesson is, was Abraham blessed of God before he was circumcised or after? The answer is, long time before. He's 99. He came out of Ur at 75. He was 99 in Genesis chapter 17, and God did this so that he would reaffirm. You remember one time he questioned God, and he said, how am I going to know that I'm going to have a child? He said, you take these animals and you split them and you put them down and you lay them down here. And Abraham, by the way, was asleep. We read this here a while back in our Hebrews 11 study. God split the pieces and he separated them. And it says Abraham was asleep, and a burning light and a lamp and a smoking flax passed between the pieces. That was a blood covenant. And it was with God. Yeah, Abraham was asleep. But he was the recipient of it. And so the covenant that God made with his people before the foundation of the world, this is what he's pointing to in all of these different things. There's a covenant made, and Abraham, God gave him this sign of circumcision. She said, you will keep this. You will keep this. From all the way down. And he says, the person that will not keep this covenant shall be cut off from Israel. If somebody, if you get somebody in your house and you, no matter who he is or whatever, if he comes and he lives in your house, you must do this to him. You must. Circumcise his own self. Just saying. All right. All right, verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision. The reason he's saying all this is because he wants you Gentiles to understand that if you have faith, you're just like the Jews, and faith is a gift of God, and it's given to you not because of anything you did, but because of the grace of God. Faith is God's gift to you. Now notice verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham. Now this is an important point. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For they that are, which are of the law are, be heirs of, if they which be heirs, in other words, if they're heirs because of the law, or keeping the law, I want you to think about that. How many kept the law? If you think received the promises because of what you did, all the things that you did, this is his reasoning. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is void and the promise is non-effect. Why? Because he tells us that by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be just. Not one single person was ever justified by the law. So if righteousness came but through justification, then there is no righteousness. But if it's through faith, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Underline that, yellow that in, or however you want to. I want you to see it. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. It is by grace. We don't understand what that is. Grace is it's not anything you do. Faith is not what you do, it's what you have. You know, we read over there in Hebrews 11, it says by faith, it said faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. In verse 4 of that chapter it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you get it? Without faith, it is impossible. Do you know what impossible is? You ever heard of Mission Impossible? Oh, without faith, it is impossible for you to please God. So if you're pleasing, if you're here today, and I trust that you're here because God has led you here and you believe the promises of God, then if you do, then it's an evidence that God has given you the Spirit of God and you belong to Him. And you have responsibilities to follow Him. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, I've got about 5 minutes, and y'all stick with me for a minute, and I'm going to flip over to the book of Galatians. And notice what he said here. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to them which is of the law, but to them also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So if you have faith, then Abraham is your father, because he's the author, or he's the father of the faithful. And now Galatians chapter 3, and these Galatians were trying, they were under the same, they were doing the same thing. They're saying, well, yeah, we believe that, but you have to do this and do this and you have to do all these things. And they believe that you have to be circumcised and keep the law or you can't be a child of God. And he says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by your works? Did you receive the Spirit by works or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Listen, he's asking, are you so foolish? Have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You say, well, I got to keep on, keep on, keep on. And so that, no, he said, that's a foolish thought. Now, verse 6, here is the very same verse that we read in Romans. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Quoting Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Know ye therefore that they which are, listen, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's a point you can put down. Do you have faith? You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yeah, then you have faith. Then you're a child of Abraham. And you're counted in this promise. That's how he said, and the scripture foreseeing, verse 8 of Galatians chapter 3, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In these shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All nations. Japan, China, Ethiopia, Iraq. All of those, God has a people. In every nation, kindred. You know, see, the Jews thought, well, he only has a people in us. We are it. And these dogs have no hope. Well, this is the point that Paul is knocking in the head when he says, do you have faith? Then you are a child of Abraham. You are blessed with Abraham. But if while he seek to be justified by Christ, I got out. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel under Abraham, saying, in these shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So then they which be of faith, listen, that's you. He's proving you as a Jew. You are a spiritual Jew. You have been circumcised in your heart. Therefore, you're not a Jew outwardly, but a Jew inwardly. You have been born of God's Spirit. Then also they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Curse. As many as are under the works of the law are cursed. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law. You know, James said this in the book of James. He said, if you keep the law in all points and break it in one point, then you broke the whole law. You say, well, and this was the problem with the rich young ruler. He said, I've done this. I've done all those things since my youth. He said, one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and come and get, and come and give it to the poor and come follow me. And he said he went away sad because he was great riches. You know what his problem was? He was covetous. He didn't want to give up his money. You say, well, he went to hell. No, he didn't. Because it says in Mark chapter 10 that Jesus loved him. But he was not justified by his faith, Devin. That's the point I'm getting at. He refused to follow Jesus and refused to believe the promises. And he went away sad. And that's what we will do if we don't believe these promises. These promises have absolutely no effect on you unless you believe them. And how do you believe them? By faith. Now notice verse 11. This is a point. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now what did Abraham find? That he was not justified by his works. It is evident that the just shall live by faith. Duh. Isn't that wonderful? He says, the just shall live by faith. Who's the just? That's those that God has declared righteous. That's the ones that Jesus died for. The just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. If you want to live, okay, I want to be under the law. Okay, go ahead. See how it works out for you. But By the deeds of the law, no flesh is going to be justified. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus became a curse in our place. We were cursed. Why? Because we were sinners. By one man, sin entered into the world. We have broken God's law, and there's no getting it. We can't get back. Now notice verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Listen, did you hear what he said? Gentiles. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak not after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet it, covenant, Yet if it be confirmed, no man can disannul it. Now to Abraham and his seed. Now this is important. This is, I read that to get all here and we're going to quit. Now to Abraham and his seed. That's what all the promise, every time God gave a promise over there in Genesis, Genesis 13, 14, 15, all the way down through Genesis 22, he said, in thee shall thy seed be blessed. So who is his seed? Well, he tried to help God out one time. Remember? Hagar went in to him and said, well, I'm too old and Sarah's too old and we can't have any kids, so I'm going to send my slave. Hagar came in and what happened? She conceived. And she bore a mocking Ishmaelite. You see, the Arabs and the Jews, they all believe in Abraham. Abraham's their father. But they believe the promised seed came through Ishmael. Well, the seed said, God said, that's not going to be your heir. Cast out that bondwoman and her son. Now to Abraham and his seed. It's Isaac, brothers and sisters. Remember that. We'll get into that in chapter 9 if we ever get there. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You see that? How important is that little S on the end of seeds? You see, it's all based on the little S. Not to seeds, plural, but to one seed. You see, who was the seed over there that said, in thy seed shall I build? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the seed of Abraham, and we've been blessed by him. And that's why it says, for I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years could not disannul it. The promise was made 430 years before Moses came on the scene. And by the way, circumcision was put in the law. It was over there in Genesis 17. It was a covenant that God made, but it was still vital because read the genealogy. All of those that came out of Abraham come right on down and they're right there in Jesus Christ. And he is the promised seed.